Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
CrowPod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anybody. Welcome back to another episode of the CrowPod, and joining me, Shane, of course, David Edgar. Hi, David.
Hi, Shane. Hi, Todd. Hi, everyone who's listening. It's nice to be back. I, of course, had a week off last week because we were playing again, back doing the old football thing back at the football stadium, and that kind of interrupted my. Or my sitting about and talking to you two. But here we are, we're back. All good.
Everything's good. Hi, Todd. How are you?
Hi. I'm so sorry that Rangers games interrupted our little chats.
Afraid so.
Well, to be fair, we did all still get chats in. We just couldn't do them.
Yes. Together. No, that's true. That's true.
Because there was still, there was Watergate went, and there was you guys did your Desert Island show about movies, which I urge you all to go and check out, folks. So it's, there was talk.
Yeah, so there was CrowPod content, just not
yes. The CrowPod. It wasn't. Yes, the theme. The theme was Shane.
Shane was the theme, but it was spin off. Last week was our Laverne and Shirley, and our Rhoda shows, or our what was the other one? Our Benson shows.
I will go for Empty Nest. That would be the that would be the spin off.
Oh, here's one.
Chips and Frasier.
Yeah,
the Golden Palace, nice. Which was the short-lived post-Golden Girls show, where basically B. Arthur went, "No, fuck this."
Yeah.
The other three. There was a great story about that. That the pilot episode. That basically, for those who don't know, it was the Golden Girls finished on a high with Dorothy marrying Leslie Nielsen. Which I think we'd all agree was a match made in heaven, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. But they then, spin off. And what they did is they took, strangely enough, the character of Sophia, she went, along with Blanche and Rose, to run a hotel called the Golden Palace. And in the pilot, their chef is the British extremely left-wing alternative comic Alexei Sale.
Oh, beautiful. I forgot that.
He lasted one episode.
Sure he did.
Because
he was constantly asking them if he had a new motor.
Yes. And funnily enough, a rotund British Liverpudlian Scouse communist did not really get on very well on set with anyone. And he was replaced for the show proper by Cheech Marin.
Jesus.
Now, whoever did the casting and came up with Alexei Sale, I'm sure got the letters to leave the next day.
If you replace that with Cheech, you have horribly miscast this part.
You have horribly. I mean, it was just, first of all, nobody on the set apparently said, I saw him in an interview about it, he said nobody on the set could understand a fucking word I was saying.
No, it's not a language, Scouse. It's just whining, screeching noises. That's all.
And secondly, he was just walking about sort of diffident to everything. Mm-hmm. It didn't work. And I think Cheech was probably a better bit of casting.
Well, the reason that they got Cheech is because Tommy Chong didn't hear the phone.
Well,
that's the only reason.
If you ever go back, can I just quote the wonderful, again, this is a stoner reference for you younger guys. This is a stoner reference from back when I were a nipper. And even then it was a bit long in the tooth because it's the 70s thing of Cheech and Chong, who were a comedy duo. And can I just quote the wonderful P.G. O'Rourke, who said, kids always tell you that drugs don't mess with your mind, but if that's the case, why are Cheech and Chong popular? But if you ever actually go back and watch some of their old routines, Tommy Chong does fuck all. No wonder Cheech went solo, because he does all the work. Tommy Chong occasionally goes, hey man, dude.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Cheech does all the work. But so that was, our spin-offs were better quality than that, I would say.
I don't know. Cheers, Frasier.
Oh, Frasier's your gold standard one, isn't it?
Pretty much.
But then, of course, you know, for every Frasier, there's an Archie Bunker's place.
Yeah.
So
there's always going to be some utter bullshit that comes out of it. It's, did you ever see the Simpsons Showcase spinoff?
Oh yeah.
Yes, of course, of course.
I really want them to make Wiggum PI.
Yeah.
Because I would watch that. I would watch Wiggum PI, and of course the Lovematic Grandpa, where Grandpa gets killed, but he spinny comes back in Moe's love tester machine.
Yeah. With the canned laughter all throughout.
Canned laughter and the attempt at a comedy catchphrase that goes up. It's quite a peculiar thing, a kind of comedy catchphrase. You can always tell one can just arrive, right? And those are the ones that last. And then you get the ones that are just too forced. And you can absolutely see what they go. Like, for instance, great comedy catchphrases. Hey, right?
Yes.
Who knew a noise would be there was a great thread on Follow this week for those of you who've seen Henry Winter, the Times journalist. I'm sure you boys have read stuff on occasion. Probably Britain's most senior football writer, I would say, probably most
award-winning.
Award-winning, he was at Ibrox on Monday for the Rangers open day, and he was raving about it, which is good publicity for Rangers. I think he's got 2 million followers. And someone posted on Follow Henry Winter at Ibrox, and the first reply was, the Fonz was at Ibrox.
So the thread jumped the shark immediately, is what you're telling me.
Yes.
Now all I can think about is getting Henry Winkler to Ibrox.
Well, I can tell you this. I was once in the same room as him. I did not get to meet him.
But
I was in the same room, and you just kind of felt it, you know. It was a taping of Iron Chef America, and my friend Kevin Brosh was a floor reporter there, so he got my wife and I in for a taping. And it was one of the two chefs against two chefs. The theme was like Thanksgiving, so it was just like this huge kind of, you know, whatever. And one of the judges was Henry Winkler. And I was like, Kevin, can we? He's like, oh, no, you may not. I was like, okay, fine. That's, you know. And I get it. Like, you know, because they were shooting the entire time that we were there. So there's no way we could actually sneak over and go, I love your work. And apparently, like one of the things that there's a wonderful podcast episode out there. I think it's a good one, which Jesse David Fox talks to a comedian about a particular joke, and they just fucking deconstruct it. Like, they literally take it apart and put it on the table. But they'll sometimes have special episodes. And one of the things they did was an acting seminar taught by Henry Winkler.
Awesome.
And it's fantastic. And whenever you hear him just, you know, talk about how he got the Fonz role, like he said, he went in with a choice. He figured it out, and like, they wanted this, you know, stereotypical Italian gangster, and in comes this little Jewish guy going, hey, and he nailed it. So
the only thing, right, see, when I was five, I have to be honest and say that when I was five, I thought that the Fonz was the coolest, one of the two coolest people in the whole world. I thought
you do.
Fonz was the coolest guy in the world, and the other one was Adam Ant. And I'm still not sure I was wrong, incidentally, on either of those. But it's only when you get a wee bit later and you're like, right, okay, see if the Fonz was so cool, Why is he hanging about with fuckwits like Cunningham, Ralph Malfoy, yeah. Potsy?
Yes. Honestly, Potsy should be in a locker in every episode.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Just come on. You're better than that. You're better than that, Ponzi. But no, I wonder, you don't really get that now. I was thinking about this because obviously when Happy Days was on, it was a throwback show, right? But it was only thrown back 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There aren't many shows kicking about now about the year 2000.
I wouldn't really want to watch like here's what 2007 was like. I remember before the recession.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. Hey, do you guys like the band Korn?
Yeah, maybe time is just much more compressed now. I don't know, but or
it is.
Eras are less defined because you're absolutely right. Imagine somebody said, "God, remember back in 2007? Yeah, we all had mobile phones and the internet." Mm-hmm. Oh. Right, aye.
Right, yeah. I think they're gonna go like way back. Like what they'll do is they'll do like a stunt cast of a reboot of like Swiss Family Robinson, but with cell phones, and you know, or more ghosts or something. You know, it'll be that.
Yeah, that's the way to go. But no, I look forward to when people tend to go back and you know, here is the 90s again. We'll have a lot more TV where people fight each other and marry horses.
Well, that's, yeah. I mean, they're doing the reboot spinoff of that 70s show. Like, they just started filming that. It's that 90s show.
Is it 90s so, show? Oh, right,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, they're all set 20 years in the future from, yeah.
All right. Let's all move to Seattle and get slow modems.
Yes.
Pets.com, let me tell you, man, that stock.
Yeah.
That's it's just going.
It is going to go ballistic, yes.
Egraters.com. We didn't last very long, but we are thankful for having the opportunity to change the way you buy your cheese grater.
Yes. It's my favorite line. Oh, not my favorite one, but it's one that I always remember is like when they're trying to revamp the website at Dunder Mifflin in The Office. They're just, Ryan is like describing what the experience will be. He just goes, "Buying paper just got fun." It's like, okay. And then cut to the next scene. Have we fixed the social media? Yes, we have. It's like, okay, so sexual predators had taken over the social media chat. So
again, we're going back 10, 15 years, but when I first started working in website, web development, all that kind of stuff, what you would have to do was really about the time that you were moving the old 90s websites that had lingered on a bit, to what are more recognizably the ones we have now, you know, HTML and whatnot, rather than the original shit. And honestly, people were so connected to them. I remember I was doing a short-term contract at Edinburgh City Council, and the guy was like, "I really like that web page. Is there somewhere we can keep it?" I was like, "Yeah, a fucking museum."
Famously, the website for the original Space Jam movie is still out there.
It is it's the oldest existing. Yeah, this is my web nerd kicks in. Yeah, the oldest existing original page is the promotional website for Space Jam the movie.
Well, there's also the World Wide Web Archive. It's like you can go and find stuff there. Like the original heyitstva.com websites are up there, and they are, what's the word I'm looking for? Ghastly. They are just brutally horrible.
I was just looking at that because it's not quite yet the 10th anniversary of the CrowPod, but it has come and passed the 10 years since I started the website, you know, like when we used to write about things and talk about Rangers actually and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I went back through the Wayback Machine to go look at some of that stuff. And I mean, it wouldn't look great by today's standards, but you know, it would still hold up. Mostly. Mm-hmm. It worked.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the original one where you had like misshapen banners and stuff that you called.
Yes.
Like
fucking GeoCities and shit like
that. Yeah. You'd six different colors and like hyperlinks to yahoo.com search engine.
There was orange scrolling text above me in a tiled background of me standing on a stage somewhere. Like it was just horrid.
And the other thing you would tend to do is you're doing sort of web, like one of there's so many kind of rules about how people read websites, right? And you would try and explain this to clients to get them to have a website that didn't hurt you. Right. So you'd be kind of right. You'd explain to them that there's a thing on the internet called the F shape, which is people read in an F. Which is why you should only have little tiny kind of chunks of text and use bullet points, so kind of making an F shape, because people, they don't so much read a web page as they look at it.
Right. They don't
get to, I think there's a, most studies say you take in about 48%. If you have a book and you have the same book on a laptop screen, you take in about 48% of it that you would take in when you're normal, when you're reading a document. So you would try and explain, and then I obviously had to deal with university lecturers, and university people, academics, they talk, and that's their job, right? And they debate and they discuss, and unfortunately they think that then makes them experts in fucking everything. They would say to you, and you would carefully explain, and you would say, right, this is why we need to trim the 9,000 word intro you've given me for your page to maybe about 150 words, right? And you would sort of explain that to them, and then they would argue back with you, and you're like, right, you're an expert in what, may I ask? It's, oh, I'm an expert in the construction and the built environment. Right. So if I walk into your office knowing fuck all about that and start telling you how to do it, would you be offended? Yes, I would. Well, don't fucking do it to me then.
See, I felt like with those types, you always had to put in terms they could understand. Like, okay, you have a journal article, but you also have an abstract. What we need here is an abstract.
Yes. The executive summary.
For. Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
The Janet, I'll tell you what, David, there's somebody out there is going to be needing a new website. Because I don't know, the people who don't keep up with Tim Twitter, and I try not to unless stuff is steered my way. But two people have had their hearts broken over the past couple of weeks. One of them, James Forrest, who is just that fucking nutter from the Celtic one.
Not Hart and Hands one.
No. Right. The one who's probably on a lot of registries if we went and checked. But he said, I'm finally going back to writing about politics and other stuff on a new website. He's given up on it all. And we also broke Phil McGillivan, who got asked by a Peter Brady. He said, Phil, when are Sefco going to die permanently in the demolition crew into the old whore? Phil has found that. Now, this is before the Bassey deal was even done. He says, highly unlikely. The directors step up when needed, and the club is now making money from player trading. We have taken the deranged fucking psychos and their support and actually broken them this summer. It's been impressive.
Beautiful.
We have, right? But The likes of those two have taken the deranged fucking psychos and their support for a ride and taken their money.
So, oh, yeah. Hey, all the power to them.
Here's it. There was a great reply, and I'm sorry, I didn't know the tweeter who did it, but if you're out there, sir, I salute you. There was a great tweet. A Celtic fan was saying, how are they affording that? You know, the war cry. How are they affording to sign Yilmaz? And a Rangers fan replied and went, just sold players for 50 million in the past 6 months. Had a European run that brought in 30 million. That's a mystery, mate.
Hey, speaking of the squad, because I watched the Tottenham game, and well played, but horrible result.
It's like I said online. If you give one of the three or four best finishers in the world that amount of space, he's going to fucking
Exactly.
Thankfully, we close don't have to down. Play someone like Harry Kane every goddamn week. So
it was like we got our one and thought, well, that's it, right? Like we're done. And no, I got a couple of things about the squad. First of all, I noticed that Matondo is putting an R on his shirt to differentiate himself from
from the other Matondo.
The other Matondo that we've signed.
Yeah.
Is that
he's different from the Gorbals Matondos.
Okay, good. Okay. Because I didn't want a R de Burr, F de Burr thing happening here again. I guess we're just priming for his brother. That'll be good. Are you guys like me? Every time Suter's name is mentioned or I see a shirt, I can't help but say it in my head as if it was the first line from Jurassic Park.
Shooter.
Suta! And who's this new player, Barisic? He's looking good.
Yeah, well,
that's great. Hey, we signed a like a left back who does all the same shit he does, and he decided to wake up. That's great. That's
yeah,
great.
A wonder kid. Well, the competition always helps. Right, I got one last question
before you do this, and David, I'm going to you because you're closer to them than I am. The accent on the C on Colak, it's a CH? Is that how you're pronouncing that properly? Because I'm hearing Colak and Colak, and I don't know which way to go. No.
It's Colak, yeah.
Colak, all right.
The accent's okay. Gotcha. But, look, you two and I, you know, and a lot of the listeners, we like other sports, and we appreciate, you know, the people who are the best in any given sport. Mm-hmm. And, again, it's true, you can see it on TV, but it's really only once you're close up that you can appreciate all the stuff that understandably doesn't carry on television. And watching Kane and so on and Kulusevski, Jesus, they are so good because it's not, first of all, they're all fucking massive. You watch the EPL and you think that Son is this kind of small, slight guy. Nope, he's not. They obviously do have like really high grade coffee down there.
Yes, very good coffee. Very good coffee.
But they never stop working. And it's the great example. Look, guys, if players that good can work that hard, there's no excuse for anybody else not to. Yeah.
No, exactly.
They just go. But the other thing about it was coming out of the game, and there's always people disappointed. I tend not to pay too much attention in friendlies, good or bad, right? Because they're friendlies. But a guy messaged me and he says, "Yeah, I don't think Suter's good enough." I was like, "What, to play Harry Kane every week?" No, you're right, he isn't.
Yes.
absolutely. He is not good enough. And another bear, a younger bear, said to me, "What do we need to get up to the level that Tottenham are at?" And I said, $750 million. Yeah, and unfortunately, that's true. Money. And yeah, and but that's the thing. And look, you know, it's never nice to admit, but you kind of have to hold your hands up and say that there is, you know, the Spurs are going to finish in the top four in England. Yeah. Spurs have spent ridiculous. Yeah. You could, if Spurs sold, and this isn't an exaggeration for comedic effects, a fact, if Spurs sold that front three tomorrow, they could buy every club in Scotland. Mm-hmm.
And the grounds and everything.
Yes.
But yeah, uh-huh. they could lock stock own every club in Scottish football. That's the difference. And it is no coincidence. And I'm afraid that it is not that unfair. But guys who are worth £100 million tend to be better than guys who are worth £1 million.
Well, yes.
There was something there too. You can see the gulf in difference between West Ham, who are a good EPL side, right? A good, competent mid-table, pushing into the top six EPL side versus a Champions League side like Spurs. Mm-hmm. The gulf there even is fucking massive. And
yeah,
I mean, you know, on a European scale, we're probably at the, you know, we're right in there with West Ham, obviously. You know, we were both in the same stages as the same competition last year.
Punching
right?
above our weight because even they, you know, they've got.
They've got five times the fucking turnover we do. I mean,
if this game meant something, you would have seen a completely different setup. It would be way more defensive. We would be closing down Kane and Song like so much. Like there would be, you would see the patented 8-1-1 formation, and it would just as soon as I got into the 18-yard box, I might as well be playing bumper pool. Like it would. That's how dense it would.
Two banks of five, and that's it.
Gio said that in the press conference after it. He was asked, and he said, "Look, if result was the most important thing today, I would have played 5-4-1, and we would have sat in and denied space, but it wasn't. I wanted to see if the boys could test themselves playing the way I want them to play against the side. Because understandably, if Rangers are trying to beat that press, they're not going to come up against a press that good most weeks. If Rangers are trying to beat the fullbacks, they're not going to come up against fullbacks. So it totally made sense. But there was also a bit of controversy online, I noticed, because when Kane and Son were being substituted, the majority of the fans, the vast majority, applauded them.
Yes.
And both players applauded back and left the field. And, you know, you could see actually they were both kind of surprised and I think quite, you know, quite enjoyed it. And there were some people online who said, this is a disgrace. Can't believe you're clamping the opposition players and whatnot. What? To which the answer tended, I noticed, to be from fans that were saying, it was a friendly. You know, they're really good players. They'd been really classy. They'd, you know, like when Son was taking a corner, he was applauding the home fans and whatnot. They hadn't phoned it in. They'd come up and they'd given us, you know, the kind of test that we were after. Yeah. We were showing a bit of respect. So where do you stand? And most people said, look, had it been a competitive game then, I wouldn't have done it. No.
Yeah, no. It's a friendly. Look, this isn't a Tuesday in fucking October in the Champions League, you know? Yeah. Come on. I mean.
Yes.
It was a good crowd, good show, and like you said, I mean they did play to their level the entire time they were on the park, and yeah, you know, they were engaging with the fans. The fans were coming, but you know, I mean, like had Harry Kane come out there, scored two, and given the finger, and be like, "Fuck you!" Yeah. Like, yeah, okay, no, but they didn't. I mean, they were like you said. I mean, they were respectful. They enjoyed the environment and everything. That's the perfect advertisement for what our club is. I don't know what the fuck more you could want.
It was like the scene in Damn United where he's running around putting ashtrays and oranges into the dressing rooms. Like, oh, I really want this to work out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I just, like, you know, obviously I was in the press box, so you don't, I was going to say you don't applaud, but I'm a lying bastard. Rangers scored, I'm up and cheer. I did. I don't care. I remember, actually, the first time that I did it was the behind closed door games. We were playing St. Johnston. And do you remember we won 3-0, but after about, it was 1-0 early, born a free kick actually, but then there was a good kind of hour before the second goal went in, and you know, even in an empty stadium as a fan, I was getting a bit tense, you know, just don't equalize. And then we got the second, and I involuntarily, because I was trying really hard to behave at the time, I was just newly doing it, and I went yes, you know, and punched the air. And then I thought, so after the game, I sought out someone from Rangers comms team and I said, look, just so you know, in case any of the journalists complain about this, when we scored, I, you know, let out a roar and, you know, punched air. And he said, David, you're fan media. I don't care if you sing Follow, Follow. So I've been given license to do it is my take on it.
So. You are so lucky because you can play both sides of the coin. Like if there's ever like, you know, any sort of meeting of the press and stuff like that, you just like, you know, tap to the little tag that you have in the brim of your fedora and just go, excuse me, I'm press. And then when you start, you know, singing Rule Britannia or the Sash, they go, can you keep it down? And then you flip it over. It says fan media, you know, get the fuck.
Yeah. They don't like us very much.
I have a question for you. What'd you make of Conte when you were feeling questions?
Different to how I expected, because you know, you see him on TV and you see him on this touchline, he's very intense and whatnot. And look, he was still, but he was really engaging, really open. But a guy from Spurs, actually, not from us, guys from Spurs own channel, asked him, you know, thoughts in the game, the standard one. But then he said, you've played here before, haven't you, Antonio? I think it was against Gaza. And of course, Gaza, the Spurs connection is obviously there as well. And he burst into this big smile. And he spoke and he said, yeah, we played here. And he said, and unfortunately, we were able to win, which I think might be the biggest understating of a football result I have ever heard in my life. Those of you who remember Juventus at Ibrox in the mid-90s will, fortunately.
Was
we touched the ball six times and four of them were to kick off again after they had scored.
Yeah.
But he said, yeah, he said, I played against Gascoigne. He said, I had to run a lot. He said, he didn't. He was good. And he was really warm, really. The only question he kind of bristled at, and it wasn't from one of our guys, it was again from an English reporter who asked him about Bayern Munich last week, had done that Bayern thing they do of going, we really like Harry Kane, and if he ever became available, wink wink, you know, we'd love to take him. And he got asked about that and he said, you know, he was clearly, first of all, he said, I hadn't heard that, and he looked at their PR guy accusingly, you know, why haven't I heard about this? But he said, so who said that? And the journalist said, well, it was, you know, the Bayern, Oliver Kahn, who's, I think, sporting director, he's, you know, he's high official there now.
Yeah.
And he said, He goes, right, okay, he says, no, that's disrespectful. I wouldn't talk about one of their players. He says, Harry's under contract, big part of the project, etc., etc. So that was the only time that you saw that sort of, But he was good, and, you know, he was asked, you know, you didn't do loads of subs and you picked a first team. And he said, well, I wanted a real game. He said, that's why for a friendly, we chose to play against a real team in a big environment. He was really good, but he is cool as fuck.
So speaking of Conte at Ibrox, when one of the first times I was in Italy with my then girlfriend, now wife, I think it was the math. We went to Amoruso's restaurant in Florence.
Awesome.
And so you go in and there's shirts everywhere of him from all the different teams, and obviously there's a nice Rangers one, and I have a picture of me and Moreno Torricelli, who was there.
Oh, class!
And when he found out I was a Rangers fan, he's like, "Okay, let's get a picture." And so we got a picture underneath one of the Rangers shirts,
nice.
And he's holding up a 4, and I'm holding up a 1. And
in their defense, they were quite good.
Oh yeah, Juventus.
That team was okay. Yeah,
they're special.
this was like finals in a row. Yeah, they were all right.
Decent.
This was the best part, though. As we're in the restaurant and the manager is there, and he sees me like snapping pictures of every Rangers shirt. He goes, "So you're an Amoruso fan?" I says, "Yeah, I'm a Rangers fan. I loved him at Rangers." He goes, "Oh, do you want to talk to him?" And I went, "What?" He goes, "Yeah." And so he goes, just a second, come over here. So I'm like, is he going to come out of a box? Like, where is he? I don't know. And so he picks up the phone, dials him. And at this point, I don't know what he's saying in Italian because my Italian does not exist at this point. And he just hands me the phone and goes, here.
Oh, that's awesome.
And hello. And I hear this very gruff, hello. So, hi, Mr. Amoruso. I'm Todd. And I'm a Rangers fan. Oh, Rangers, how are you? And he just... And then suddenly there was more limoncello than we could drink for free, and it was just
perfect. So back to Bayern there, and our other new American. Which, by the way, David, have they figured out that James Sands is actually a center half in a back three and not a midfielder? Or
he's been a center half in a back two. I think he might start at the weekend. We'll see. But okay. Funny enough, he was at the press open day. At Ibrox on the Monday, he was one of the ones that we spoke to. So there'll be an interview with him up on Heart and Hand later in the week, on Wednesday, actually, whenever you come to listen to this. But he was a very clever guy. You know, like, you can tell, obviously, the university system that he's not just your usual sort of... he's not a traditional...
The other one, the boutique.
The great, the old Monty Python sketch. I got my head on it, and luckily enough, it went in a goal. But we'd Scott Wright as well. He's the same. Scott Wright, very well spoken. Yeah. Very obviously thinks about his game. But yeah, James Sand. Look, Gio likes him. He's going to play more than I think a lot of the fans think.
Yeah.
So the of course our other newer American, Malik Tillman there, although really dumb number, and I was trying to find why he wears a shirt number, and I don't know. So if anybody actually
I do.
Okay, yeah. And
right, it's near his mum was born.
Okay, fair, fine, whatever.
Okay,
still dumb.
I don't like.
But here you go. Here you go, David. Here's your Nixon White House tie-in, right?
Go on.
Because I told you I was going to find something to tie all the shows together here for you. So he came up at what club before moving to Bayern?
Oh, I don't know.
It was
Greuther Fürth, right?
Oh.
Which is Henry Kissinger's hometown club and the club he's supported his whole life.
imagine that. And here's a celebrity fan.
Guess what his place of birth is? Nuremberg.
Hey.
Probably he wants to be a trialist.
Probably, probably steer clear of the whole Nuremberg thing. If I were you, Todd, no good can come of that. But look, you might
be able to set up a call with old Henry and our new American there. That'd be a
an interview with Henry. That would be fun, wouldn't it? I've just finished the Hitchens book again. So, Henry, can we talk about Angola?
What can you tell me about Malik Tillman? I mean, where do you see him?
What can you tell me about Malik Tillman? What can you tell me about Salvador Allende?
Hey, do you guys want to feel really shitty? He was born after 9/11.
Good Lord.
His mum was born in 1971. I was born in 77. Right. Yeah. So no, don't worry about that.
No, I'm okay because I was born in 69, dudes. It was awesome.
His mum is old. You are older than Malik Tillman's mother.
I am.
So, but no, I'm not a fan of this, and the reason that I know why he's been given 71 is that I immediately moaned about it to people at Rangers. Well, I fucking disgraced that. And they're like, look, it's just, you know, what harm does it do? Kids love it. I'm like, right, fucking, because you can't win that argument. And I'm just going to expand this into other areas of life. Oh, the kids like it. Right. Oh, the fucking, my mum and dad do that when I'm on about something. They'll go, oh, like, you know, the boys love it. Well, fuck them. Right. I'm older than them. I'm better than them. Right. They contribute nothing to society at this point. Fair enough. Right. Children of the future. I'm the present. I'm important now.
Okay. Let me throw this back at you. When was the last time you saw a Rangers team numbered 1 through 11?
No, but I get squad numbers, but it should be, right, you do your 1-11, which incidentally should be your best team. But okay, you do your 1-11, then you do the next numbers, and you assign them based on the numbers which are available, right? So if you are the 71st player registered, by all means, you can be 71. But can we tell
Tim's that he is a 71st player registered, so they lose their fucking minds.
Where's the money coming from? Ajax, mate. That's where the money's coming from.
Straight into Holland.
Just a conveyor belt of euros just coming in.
It's kind of like
a Lucy sketch. We're actually eating them to keep up.
Andy McGowan, our podder, said dropped a great tweet this week again to a Celtic fan who was complaining about they're spending all this money. And Andy said, not only have we spent so much money, I heard that we even paid the Turkish team an extra 10% and told them to get themselves something nice while we were buying them. I'd like to think Ross Wilson has been walking about and just palming transfer offers.
Exactly.
Keep a hold of that, you know? Just like, there you go.
I will say, you get like, other people, me included, but people get a lot of grief because I mean there was a lot of warranted criticism of Ross Wilson over the past year and a half or so, I do believe. But much like John Lundstrom, who suddenly turned his career around, Ross Wilson has had a very good summer. So it's okay to be able to say he was not doing a very good job before, we thought. Yes. Now he is doing a better job.
You new round here. This is 2022, where you must make a snap decision immediately based on very little evidence.
And then hold on to that forever.
No matter which new evidence it comes up, you have to ignore it and keep plowing on. Here's the thing as well. I'm going to say something that is wildly controversial. We don't know if we've had a good or a bad window yet.
No, we'll know in May.
That's true.
We'll know in May. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And people say, well, you're allowed to give an opinion on it. I said, sure you are, but all opinions at the moment are just, you know, like arseholes, we all have one. Yeah. It looks good and it's exciting. Mm-hmm. We're all much happier than we were 2 weeks ago, absolutely. But they can all be duds or they can all be brilliant or somewhere in between, which is more likely, and we'll see where we are in a year. Like boys even in the Heart and Hand Podders team will get on to me and they're like, why are you so calm about this? And I'm like, because you can't fucking know what's going to Why worry about something we don't know what's going to happen?
We'll know at the second Old Firm game. And that we'll see how far the Europe
usually about
is.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of money.
Here's the thing. Go ahead.
Fuck you. I'm doing this. We're getting this out.
Yeah, great. You ruined a perfectly useful intro there, Todd.
I know.
I gotta thank some of our new members here. So again, if you scroll down the show notes or you go to my Buy Me a Coffee link, it's on Twitter, it's in the link tree, it's on wherever, anywhere that you're looking for the site, there's a Buy Me a Coffee link you can go in. So to our members who are monthly people chipping in on the new thing, they're Graham, Fraser, Stephen, and Ian. And also, I got to give a shout out to one new supporter. So, you know, you can just like chip in a few bucks if you want to. You don't have to like sign up for a monthly thing. My buddy Tom, who said, the only quote Rangers content podcast that my better half will regularly listen to.
You don't let someone you like listen to us. You don't let someone you care about listen to us. At
the show for a reason, folks.
Yes. I'm driving you. Wedges between friendships for over 3 years. Yes. The Crow Pod.
Oh, actually, man. I got
to give a shout out to, of course, our friend, the Beats and Cancer Charity, the Sons of Struth Youth Teams, Michael McGuire, a good friend over there with this group. This name I'm always going to butcher. Adam Karafaskith. You can go down. There's a link for them in the show notes. And, of course, our friends, the Famous and the Copeland Streetwear. The Famous there, I got to wait for Graham to get back to get our July raffle. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing, too. If you sign up to support the show, I just throw your name into a hat once a month, and whoever gets drawn out gets a little thing. This month, I picked Graham from the Famous, but they're out of the office until the end of the month. So, but when that comes around, Bobby's getting a little gift pack from them. So that would be that.
Always worth getting. Two things, Shane. Firstly, at the start of that, I think you should start playing underneath it some inspirational music. I say the theme from The West Wing. Yeah. It will bring more. So when you're editing this, go away, get the theme from The West Wing and just play it under it. And you know, it'll be quite inspirational. People will sign up, do it. The other thing is, on people listening to this show, my wife, who knows nothing about football, right? Just genuinely knows zero about football.
Which is good for a relationship. I'm not going to lie.
Ideal for a relationship.
Yeah. Yes. It can work. Have an Italian. There's a vested interest there. She'll go.
Zali's so sweet, though, because I'll come in and she'll go, and I can see it in her wee face. She's like, how did you do? Like, she doesn't know. You know, she doesn't check. This huge news story, right? She'll have been absolutely oblivious to Rangers FC play. How did you do in a wee face? She wants it for me, and I'll go, we won 2-1. And she'll go, great. Yeah. How are you playing? And I'll say, as if it means fucking anything. We're playing Hearts. Oh, that's good. Right? But it's very sweet. But because I was traveling a lot in the last 6 months, right? Basically every week I was like, I'm off to Germany, I'm off to fucking Belgrade, well, by the way, now is that a season finished? Yes, I'm off to Las Vegas. She said, you were never in the house, and she goes, and I was missing you. So she said, so I thought, I'll listen to one of your shows, and she said, I was scrolling down all your shows and they were all about football, which, you know,
God, no,
she's not interested in. So she said, so I found one, and it's you and your friend Shane and your friend Todd, and you were talking about, and she sort of looked at me and she went, I don't actually, what is that show about? And I said,
Sally, if you can figure it out, let me know.
I said, it's kind of Schrodinger's show.
Finally, we'll have a slogan for the show.
Yeah.
If she can figure it out, we can go like...
Crow Pod, the cat is alive, but it's also dead.
Yes.
Right. That's what the Crow Pod is.
That's it. All right, we're going to grab a quick break. Dave, I did pick music to get into the commercial segment now. It's good to be king. The Tom Petty classic. Yeah. Classic. Yeah, classic. We'll be right back.
And have your own world. It helps to make friends. It's good to meet girls.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're getting dead professional, by the way. Like, actual ad breaks.
Yeah, the work on that last Watergate show, which, by the way, folks, if you haven't listened to the Watergate shows, please go do that. Mm-hmm. And also, like David said earlier, me and Todd back on our desert island. But no, yes. that the amount of work that I had to do to cut up audio on that last Watergate show, I should be paid much, much, much more for this.
to be fair, right, not many of them haven't, I think, listened to the Watergate show because it's fucking gangbusters, mm-hmm. man.
I get the feeling you're going to get a huge check someday from an R. Stone?
Yeah. Hopefully from a prison somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of prisons, I see Ghislaine Maxwell has been, she's been sent to a minimum security prison.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she's down yeah. there, the Haldeman special down there in Florida.
Yeah.
Well, plenty of access to shoelaces as she needs.
I've got a big problem with this. To me, like, minimum security federal prison stuff is for people who've done, like, white collar, like Martha Stewart, yeah. right? Or John Ehrlichman. Yeah, yeah. People like that who've done something.
Harmless people who yes, aren't hot.
Not yeah, yeah. sex traffickers and pedophiles. No.
Right. No.
She yeah, should be no. fucking buried under the prison.
Like, yes.
There's no reason for this.
She should be in the Orange is the New Black sequel.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
I'm kind of the same because I was, as you say, right? It was, you take the harmless ones, right? The ones who are a bit dodgy. The ones who have, you know, lied to Congress or whatever about, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, bugging operations, and you stick them in the minimum security. They're harmless old dodderers, right? And you leave them to it. Sex traffickers, rapists, those type people,
they shouldn't be allowed to, like, you know, do crochet and play bocce ball and shit like that. Yeah. Like,
This made me piss myself. There was a report in one of the newspapers over here about, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell has been moved to this minimum security prison. Mm-hmm. And it said, a brochure for the prison states that... And I went, what? And I went online, right? And they have a fucking brochure.
Of course they do. Have you been incarcerated?
If you're being incarcerated in Lower Florida this year, then there's only one place to go.
Your time served in you. That's what.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Did we mention? You know what?
That is the voiceover gig I would love to get.
Yes.
Hi there, and welcome to Bathgate Minimum Security Prison. At our prison, the showers are always warm. The bocce courts are always filled with balls. And your nap will be seclusive. Yes.
It's just so good. Did we mention, I think we forgot last week about that lady judge in Seattle.
Well, we weren't here last week, so that would make it hard.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be why. A lady judge in Seattle, whose name escapes me, and I do apologize, but she has gotten some trouble. Right, because when she was sentencing, and there was a Watergate-esque touch because the guy hadn't gave up some of his conspirators. Right. And she said to him, basically, because you've not been cooperative, you can expect a tough sentence. And she said, and it won't be in a minimum security prison. She said, you're going to be sent to a prison where Big Bubba's going to make you his new girlfriend.
Yeah. Federal pound me in the ass prison.
Prison, yeah.
And then apparently, like, the court gasped, and she said, and if you think that's just a metaphor, I assure you it is not.
It's not. Yeah.
So apparently you're not allowed to invoke anal rape.
No.
No, that's typically not good in a sentencing hearing. No, you don't want judges to. You want judges to.
I sentence you to rape. Yes.
It's not the 15th century. Hey, right? You're not allowed to do that.
Speaking of American crime, did you hear about the mass shooting that happened literally a mile from my house the other day?
Yeah,
you did.
I didn't.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So see. Okay. So 50% of the other people on the show heard about it, which again just goes to show how fucking commonplace this shit is.
Right.
No, it was like 4:30 in the morning or so. At yes. It's a park. It's called Sinisippi Park. Like, I mean, it's a park that like I go on walks to. It's that close. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm bored. Let's take the dog and go for a. I can't say that. She's sitting right here. Don't you didn't hear that.
God, you did not.
Give me 40 minutes, Sage. Chill for a minute. But no, so yeah, they were all there, you know, like after partying, fucking whatever. And of course, people get drunk and high and dumb, and guns come out, and two people got murdered, and two more people like stumbled into hospitals a couple hours later with gunshot wounds. Mm-hmm. And I love this. So Chad Thunberg is the third ward alderman who I've bitched about on the show before for being part of the group that tries to close down downtown every Friday. Right. Yeah, so he said, Thunberg says the pop-up party that turned deadly over the weekend is just like the saying, quote, nothing good happens after midnight. Mm-hmm. Chad Thunberg has been in my bar after midnight on multiple occasions.
And I take it nothing good happened. Then
right, yes. He didn't? No. Complained about the peanuts.
Yeah. You know, sorry, Chad. No, I mean, it's fucking real. Well, and then there was another murder that night, too, not too far, like on the other side from the park from my house. So it was a good weekend. Well, and it was just like it felt like fucking South Florida here this weekend.
Sure.
And that is always what fucking steers it. Like in the winter, cunts don't get shot. Right. It's too fucking cold. You don't want to go outside. Shit doesn't happen when it's like, you know, fucking 92 degrees and 100% humidity. Well, even at night that night, it was down to like 75 Fahrenheit. But the humidity was like swimming in a fucking hot tub, just walking around outside. So I can see how this shit happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, Rockford. I love it.
Well, I'm not making a joke of this because it's true and it's a really tragic thing to say. But unfortunately, mass shootings over there are now so common that, like, over here, it doesn't register unless it's children. And I hate to say that, but it's true.
Well, and I mean, this one, you know, it was only two people that died. So, you know, that's
pretty... That's not mass shooting, is it?
Well, no, it's four or more wounded is what...
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough, fair enough.
What's the threshold number these days? Is it still four?
Yep, it is four. According to the FBI, it's four.
Well, over here, like, two people being shot and four wounded, national emergency.
Yeah.
You know, like literally, it would be the news cycle for weeks. It would be, you know, calls for there'd be resignations.
I mean, it's not even the top of the news cycle in town.
Yeah.
It's not even doing that.
Mm-hmm. Your society might have taken a wrong turn. Mm-hmm.
We had one yesterday in Langley, BC.
Wow.
Yeah. This guy was apparently targeting the homeless.
Oh,
that's fucking offside. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that is really offside.
Yeah.
That.
Well, the unproven correlation is that Joe Rogan, you might have heard of him, made and as a comic, I'm putting this in bold italics and air quotes joke about how the homeless should be killed.
Though, so yeah.
Remember when he used to be a comic? I don't.
No, I'm not being funny on news radio. But
I'm not going to pull him up for that one because, you know, at the end of the day, if someone says you should go and shoot the homeless, you shouldn't go and shoot the homeless, and you should be in enough command of your own sensibilities to not.
Yeah, but these people aren't because it's not just Joe Rogan. It's every single one of these fucking nut jobs that espouse shit like this constantly all the time. Yep. Across the airwaves, on the internet, fucking all over the place. And then, that might be the first one to happen in Canada. We've had more than a few incidents of that here. You know, there's still a serial killer the FBI thinks loose in Chicago that's just attacking homeless black women. I mean, it's been doing so for about a decade and a half now, and they're burning their bodies in dumpsters. So,
Well, on a happier note, could we then maybe influence our listeners to do shit?
This is what I'm thinking.
Nothing evil, right?
Let's do this. Everyone, make the missus breakfast. There you go. Do that. I think everyone should make the missus breakfast.
That there is the fundamental fucking difference between you and me, Todd. That right there. Your first thought was to do something nice for somebody else. I have a list here of things that I have compiled, right?
And, I believe it's a manifesto. That's the word you're looking for.
Yeah, right. What I was going to say is, if any of our listeners are passing co-winning and can drop off a couple of boxes of Space Raiders, that would be appreciated. If any of our listeners are going up to the Rangers Megastore, I have a list of stuff I'd like to get. Could you pick it up for me and I'll send you the money? Right. Mm. I have a watch that needs repaired. Could someone come and pick it up and drop it into the watch repair shop in town for me and then bring it back 2 days later? That's my list.
Okay. Speaking of nice things, I was going to post this to our inside chat, but I'll just do it now here on the radio. Guys, I would like to put together our Catherine Wheel cover band so we could do a version of Kill Rhythm, but name it for the town that David lives in right now. I think that would be
awesome. That would be absolutely fucking awesome. I'd be bang up for that, quite frankly. Although I found the strangest thing, and I meant to say this to you, on Spotify, the lead singer and songwriter from Catherine Wheel has a solo album of he's performing their songs acoustically.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of misses the point of a shoegaze band, I would say.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've seen his solo work. It's not bad. It's very...
It's fine, but it's just, you know, it's hard to do an 8-minute swirly epic when you've only got an acoustic guitar.
Well, Eat My Dust, You Insensitive Fuck is almost there anyway. it's basically... acoustic, you know.
But it is a kind of a difficult gig to try and process. Mm-hmm. I was at a gig last Wednesday at the Barrowlands in Glasgow, and still absolutely wonderful. I see Modest Mouse, who were absolutely fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
Jealous. I'm building this. They were absolutely brilliant, right? And the crowd were really good, and you know, which is because, you know, sometimes you think midweek gig, people my age, they might not be quite as up
scooters
for it.
Scooters and walkers at the door, you know.
Oh, you know, like before that, we went out for something to eat. You know, it's just times have changed somewhat, you know. It was really, really cool. And the only thing about it is Alan, one of the podders, poor old Alan, as he's called. He's not that old, right? He's just older than all the rest of us, so he is officially old Alan. Right? Okay. And that's he will always be until we get an older podder. He's the old gen. And we're walking up to gig, and he said, "No, Todd's younger than him." And he said, and he said, "How do we get there?" And I went, "What?" And he said, "Like, how do we get to Barrowlands?" I was like, "You've never been to the Barrowlands." He said, "No, I've been to the Barras, but I've never been to the Barrowlands ballroom." I was like, "You're 60, and you like music, and you do go to gigs. How in the name of fuck can you never have been to the Barrowlands?" I was like, you know, as someone from the west of Scotland, he was like, "Well, you know, just my daughter was growing up in the 80s. Oh, I see fucking kids. I keep fucking telling yous, man, they are parasites. They are drains. They stop you going out and doing stuff." And but we took him up to it, and he had that "We warn you before you get in here, it's a shithole, because you'll have heard all about this amazing, famous, and it is amazing. And once you get into it and the concert starts, you realise why. But it is a shithole." And he's like, "Nah, I'm sure it's not that bad." And he walked in and went, "Oh," I said, "I told you. I've been coming here since 1992, and it's not changed in the slightest. Even the posters that are up on the wall are still the same." And when I went to it in 1992, my cousin, who'd been going to it from the 70s, said, "It hasn't changed since I started coming to it." And it's now reached the stage that any time they see if they want to raise money, the Barrowlands Ballroom, they threaten to do the place up, and people give them money to not touch it. Bands give them money to not touch it. Bands say, "We don't want the dressing rooms improved." Which must be the most sort of counterintuitive thing you've ever heard in your life, that they will pay money to keep the kind of formica plastic chairs and the grotty old tables. Beautiful. Rather than get new ones.
Also, we had a good show Friday, because we had Royal Bliss. They're the kind of band that, you know, do like a 1,000 to 2,000 seat theaters. I mean, like, they're a good band. And but they started doing this Tom Petty tribute show back when he passed away, and it became like a massive success for them. So they do like these little mini tours where they'll go do like three or four shows a few times a year and do a petty tribute set. And they played 2 hours and 10 minutes and 26 songs right in a row. No break, no nothing. And it was fucking brilliant. Had a great crowd in the bar. It was excellent. It was very, very thoroughly enjoyable.
You told me that you had professional musicians doing it. You didn't tell me it was Royal Bliss. You didn't tell me it was an actual
David. I was busy setting up, you know, to get a show going. No, it was,
I keep telling you need to have people to do that shit for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, relying on employees, you know, that'll never get you too far. So
that was your mistake. See, look at Heart and Hand, right? Everybody's basically a volunteer and they all work really hard because they care about it. If I started paying them, right, it's for their own good. If I started paying them, it would remove the joy that they get from volunteering.
Yes.
Right? If I made them full time, they do get money before anybody starts going, fuck suit, David. I do pay them, but you know.
That's it's lovely that you're providing them with internships.
It's basically, it's a nominal fee they get. And I actually do it like Vince McMahon. We have a structure of what happens.
Don't do it like Vince McMahon.
No, the
old wrestling thing was they would do a show and then at the end of the night, the promoter would get in the money and he would set aside an X amount that was going to the talent and it would be given based on your place in the card, right? Yeah. So Hulk Hogan would get more than the Brooklyn Brawler. Obviously, right, because it's who drew the crowd.
The brawler. He was my favorite ring fodder.
Yeah, he was. Jobbers, but 80s jobbers are still legendary, man. Mm-hmm. Those guys were pros.
He would show up like Repo Man or IRS, shit like that.
They would turn up to get the shit kicked at them on a weekly basis by the actual stars, take the money and fuck off home. They're all the guys that are still alive that aren't in wheelchairs, so who's the fucking idiot?
Well, here's the thing, too. He could actually headline in the smaller rooms because he would come up to Maple Leaf Wrestling, which was the Canadian wrestling show, and he would be the headliner. Would be the Brooklyn Brawler, and he'd be up against Steve Gerwin or something. You know? What's up, Steve? Oh, you're gonna die.
We had a promotion over here called All Star Wrestling, which was British, right? And what they did up until they got sued was that they would do tributes. So it was guys dressed as WWF, as it was at the time, wrestlers, right? But WWF, of course, are huge corporation. They basically said, we're going to sue you. So you would go and it would be matches like Make the Snake versus the Thundertaker. Oh,
fucking beautiful.
Yeah. You know. Macho Boy Andy Ravage. You know.
The $1,000 man.
versus. No, it was the Million Pound Man. And it was. Bulk Logan was the other one.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, and the Spanish wrestler, Jorge Lanimale Stile.
It was just, you take a name and you basically dress up some poor indie worker like, you know, whoever it was, and they would come out. But, you know, they charged a fiver and it was held in, you know, like Church Hall. So it wasn't, you know, anybody that was fooled that they were going along to see all the cannons and stuff and all the razzmatazz was probably going to be disappointed.
Right. God.
Hey, no, I found us a Republican asshole of the week. I might try to start slinging this segment in because they're just getting worse. But
let's do it.
Here's a man by Glenn GT Thompson. He goes by GT. He's a Republican congressman from Pennsylvania, right? And obviously, with everything going on at the Supreme Court now, people are getting a little bit worried about, you know, say gay marriage or, you know, buying condoms or blacks marrying whites, you know, all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, nothing says good modern society like all those things suddenly being under risk. Glenn Thompson voted last Tuesday against codifying gay marriage as a federal law, right? Right now, it's just a court interpretation. Where was he on Friday?
Oh, I know. I know the answer to this. I'm not going to say it.
Go ahead, Todd.
He was at his gay son's wedding.
Yes, he was.
Looking fabulous.
Oh, my God.
People are all fucking.
It just reminds me of like that scene in Heather's, I love my dead gay son.
Nuts. That's, I mean, it's just so awful, isn't
They're
it?
All
I
mean, fucking terrible. Uh-huh. All terrible. But, you know, I'll give you a lighter government story. We were talking about this before we started here. So I got a buddy of mine who works in the DOJ, and he has not been – his office has been closed since April of 2020, right? Correct. They have not been in the office. Well, now, he's still going and doing parts of his job, obviously. The you know, government doesn't stop working. He has to go see prisoners in jail and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. his office has not been open for over 2 years. They set a comeback date for him of September 12th. I love too. He was telling me they wanted to do it July, or when was it? It was like June 6th or something. But he was like, no, that won't work because I'm going to Mexico that week. So mm-hmm. they bumped it instead of like 10 days to September 12th. So they moved it 3 months.
Yep.
And my friend has 9 weeks of vacation left to use for the year. They told him to go ahead and start using it now, and he just said, don't fuck off. There's no way in hell I'm using my vacation.
Right.
He's like, immediately, September 13th, for the 48 work days consecutively after that, he is off on paid vacation after not being at the office for nearly 2.5 years now. It is a hell of a shift if you can get a job with the federal government.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not a bad racket, is it?
No, I mean, you get in, you get set up, you get business cards, mm-hmm. you know, you're there for 20 years or whatever the fuck it is. It's not, it's not too bad.
Before we get into questions, allow me to provide it's a small palate cleanser, if I may, because sometimes, you know, I have been known to announce these episodes with like the inadvertent impression that I do over the, you know, whatever. And this one I actually kind of worked on. Okay, so this is my impression of Sakala watching Matondo from the sidelines. Okay, this is Sakala.
All right, hold on, let me get the button ready
I have a bad feeling about this. Right,
here we go.
Seven-second delay coming into play right
here
now.
Here we go. Yeah. Here we go. Ah, fuck. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's do something wholesome. Let's talk about let's try and get our karmic balance back after that one. Okay, let's stick a big investment into the karma bank. You know what's great? Soup kitchens that feed the homeless. I'm a big fan. There you go.
Yeah, very, especially when people don't wait outside to shoot the homeless people coming out of the soup kitchen.
Yes.
Please don't do that. Exactly. Just feed them. Don't shoot them after you've fed them, please.
That's an American thing. The worst thing we do
that was in Britain, Canada, you dick. Don't blame me.
All right. Canada's just diet America. Everybody fucking knows that.
I'm going back to this. Make the missus breakfast.
Yeah, exactly. What we do in Britain with homeless people is the much more humane walk past them and pretend not to see them. Yes. That's, you know, far, far more humane.
Yeah.
Actually, I feel a bit guilty because I will occasionally chat. There was one guy outside Central Station come up to me one time, and, you know, instead of the, can I have a, you know, 20p for a cup of tea or a, you mm-hmm. know, this guy came up to me one night as I was walking and said, now I'm going to get drunk at this point, okay? I have money in my pocket and I'm off to get hammered. A complete waste of money, something that is likely to get me in trouble at that point, because when I was going for a drink, I meant I'll be back in 3 days. So I'm feeling good, right? Walking down the street, this old guy came up to me and says, excuse me, son, can you give me £1? I need it for drugs or alcohol. I said, there you go, mate. There you go.
Merry Christmas, right. Brother.
No fucking about, right? Yeah. He didn't lie to me.
My family's waiting for me at the petrol station, and we can't get home, and blah, blah. No.
He wanted some money to go and get hammered, and I was more than put. And I remember I actually talked to this about a friend of mine who I think it's fair to say he's one of these guys who cares about things like taxpayers' money. right? And we all have a friend like that who go, well, as a taxpayer, I mean, if I ever say that, take me out the back and beat me to death with a fucking metal rod, okay? I never want to ever give a fuck about taxpayers' money, okay?
Because guess what? I never saw the money. It just disappeared.
Yeah, we're all going to die. Don't worry about it. See, if the council spend money on shite, they're going to. There's nothing you can do to stop it. Being personally offended by a system that is shite all around the world is only going to take time off your own life. Don't let it bother you, right? But I've got a friend, he's very, you know, taxpayers' money, and the kind of guy who, you know, he would write in because he saw an advert where somebody was wearing a bra before 9 o'clock and say kids could have seen that. He's that type of guy, right? You know, love him to bits, but that type of human being.
Yeah.
And he said, I can't believe you gave that. I told him that story and everybody laughed except him. And he said, I can't believe you did that. I said, why? And he goes, well, you know, that guy, he's going to go away, he's going to spend that, and blah, blah, and it's not going to help him, you know, get back. And I said, it was Friday night at 10:45. At that point, the scope I have for getting this guy into a hostel, finding him a job, and, you know, getting him a bath and a shave, and sitting him down to a meal, they were limited, right? My options, and I was quite drunk myself. So, you know, the options I had were limited. Now, what I could do was make this poor bastard who's going to be sleeping in a fucking doorway in Sucky Hall Street, maybe ease the pain a little bit with a can of super strength lager.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I'm going to maybe blot it out. That was, I think, about as much as I could do circumstances.
He's
going to
get a can of malt liquor and, you know.
Yep, and that boy is hoping for oblivion I provide it. You're absolutely right. I have absolutely lost my fourth place finish at last year's Good Samaritan Awards, right? I am completely... I haven't done enough for him as I might have done, but you know, and I love that. So then the discussion goes on, and of course, you know, he's like, "Well, you know, we should all do." I said, "Okay, wait, so I'll tell you where the guy is." Right, I know where he, because I've seen him before. Mm-hmm. Let's go up there on Friday night. You take him home. You take him home. You get him in a bath because you've got a spare room. I know you have. I've stayed in it. You get him in a bath and a shave and whatnot. You take him in. You say you can stay here to your back and your feet. How about that? Well, that's just stupid. Yes, it is. But that's what you were arguing for.
Questions. Graham and Colin both had one along the same lines here. But we'll go with Colin. Does the panel know of any other fan base who would purchase tickets to their rivals and willingly go to the game?
Nope.
While at the exact same moment on the less than 3 miles away, their own team are playing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And not only that, the ultimate half and half scarf supporter that you would ever fucking see, this guy. But yes, while they're playing in their midden, this guy paid money to us to come sit in IROX to cheer for Spurs with one of their shirts on underneath that.
Yep. The closest thing that we have here is that Ottawa Senators fans will sell their season ticket seat for the Leafs when they come to town, Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, God. That happens all the time down here.
Well, no. But here's the thing. They come and they take over the arena and, you know, Senators fans don't go in there. And basically, these fans bankroll their entire season on it because Toronto fans think we have a rivalry with them.
Yeah.
It's cute. Yeah. It's so cute.
Well, you know, it's a bit like when the Cubs were doing their "we're good" little bit there for a few years. The Cubs famously, you know, for years were them and the Cardinals, you know, the two of the most Western teams, and the Cubs had WGN radio and 50,000 watts of AM 720 broadcasting all the way across the country. So you had Cubs fans all over. And so, you know, when MLB started expanding to like Arizona or Colorado or whatever, you have a lot more Cubs fans than you do their fans. I mean, it's just part of the breakdown of how baseball works. You know, you have people who've been Cubs fans for four generations, or the Diamondbacks who've existed for 24 years. So, you know, it's a little bit different. But this particular guy we're talking about here is a Well, again, we talked about some deranged cocksuckers in their support a little while ago. I think he fit quite comfortably in with those fucking lunatics. So, yeah,
but I mean, it's beyond trial. It reminds me actually of what Todd was saying there. See, when we were in Leipzig, obviously for the semi-final against Red Bull, we were at the and speaking to loads of German guys, and they were coming out and they were coming up to say, "Oh, good luck tonight," and you're like, "All right." You're on the way to the game, I note, but you want us to win. Now, yeah, we're going to go and cheer for you because we are, you know, we hate Red Bull. We are actual Leipzig fans from back in the day. So, and they were telling us that, you know, they're basically their ultras. They go, look, they all support Cologne or Dortmund or Schalke, but they'll pay, you know, they'll come here because the tickets are cheap because they're subsidized by Red Bull, obviously. Football's pretty good, he said, but when Cologne or Dortmund or whoever come, they fuck off the other side of the stadium and they support their team, and then the next week they'll be back in the home end supporting Red Bull. So it's quite a bizarre situation, man.
Neil Buchan wants to know, which lasted longer, Hibs Premier Sports Cup run or the gourmet food offering from Rangers new caterers?
Oh, fuck, right. So the other night,
settling, kids.
The other night, Ibrox, right, turn up. And the first night, the West Ham game, we'd gone out for something to eat before the game, so I wasn't eating anything, so didn't really notice the new catering one way or the other. Saturday, I said, right, we'll go and grab something to eat. Firstly, there was fuck all there, right? You know, I think there were about seven pies by this stage. Now, remember, it's 1:30 and the game kicks off at 3:00. So they don't really have much. Secondly, it's the same all over. It's like, how fucking hard is this? Just cook some fucking food and bring it in. Is it that hard? Is it really that impossible to do?
Dave, I actually had to jump into the kitchen Saturday night and cook food for a party because I'd already sent my chef home. So no, it's not that hard.
I've just got a vision of you like Basil Fawlty going back there. Yeah.
Todd, if you know, David's swaggering in like the American in Fawlty Towers. Two steaks and a Waldorf salad.
I've got a vision of him in the kitchen talking to his chef, pretending that so he can charge them all the full amount. You know, can I have a screwdriver? Sure, I'll get it with my toolkit.
Leaning through the door, screaming at nobody.
I have visions of you doing that. I mean, is it that hard? Hibs. This is fucking hilarious. For those who don't know what happened is, Hibs have got a player called Rocky Bushiri, right? And he isn't very good. You will have seen him play against us last year. He's not very good at football. But Hibs, after having him for a year, decided that, look, they could do better. So they said to him, look, you're free to go in the summer. Start looking for another club. Unfortunately for Hibs, he had a clause in his contract, which they'd given him, less than a year before, that said if he played a certain number of matches, then the contract automatically kicked in for a second year. And Hibs, after telling him he could go, continued to play him, and wouldn't you just know it, they triggered the automatic contract extension.
Gorgeous.
So Hibs are left with this player for another year that they don't want. So they have accidentally signed someone for a second year. They then play the aforementioned Rocky Bushiri against Morton in the Premier Sports Cup group stage. Alas, he has been suspended for that tie from picking up bookings in the previous matches. Hibs don't realise that, play him, and are thus kicked out of the cup. So Hibs managed... So a player that Hibs had accidentally signed, they then accidentally played when they shouldn't have and got kicked out the cup. It could only happen there.
Can I just say, guys?
Go for it.
Nature is healing itself because now we can get back to saying Hibs did.
100%.
It's
Hibernian football club. Let me tell you.
That's, you know,
it's just built back stronger.
And they've also started doing an advertising campaign for season tickets and tickets, which is called Choose Hibs, which is based upon, you've guessed it, the 1996 movie adaptation of the Irvin Welsh book, Trainspotting. Now, Trainspotting is a big cultural touchstone in the UK. The poster still sells very well. That's the poster which they have gone off to do this advertising campaign. It's a film about junkies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, there is a stereotype in Scotland about Hibs where we call them junkies, right? Oh.
Hmm.
Well, I'm just saying it's maybe not right, lads. Can we
just
take
hitting facts? Just hitting facts here, you know.
Yeah. Their own marketing team are saying, right, you junkie bastards, buy a fucking ticket. Yeah.
You know that there's some guy in their advertising department that's doing the presentation for the board. He goes, and he's thinking he's Don Draper. And just like, a lot of people think that we're junkies, that we're spoon burners. And I say, if you don't like the conversation, steer into it.
Yes. That's exactly what they've done.
And then he pulls the suit back and he's like, choose Hibs. And then he's waiting for the music from, I like to teach the world to sing. Perfect. Yeah.
It's a well-known advertising trope or a well-known thing that you own something that people try to use the negative against you, mm-hmm. and you de-weaponize it, and that's fine.
Yeah, typically, you know, that not shooting smack, though. I don't think that's one of the things that you want to own.
There are things that you can do. That, like, we do it with Sevco, right? Mm-hmm. We've done it for years. Right. When Moon
again, that's
shout,
not heroin addiction.
No. Yes. Can you wonder it? Like, you would see Gary Glitter making a comeback saying, go and keep me away from primary schools. What am I like? Oh, you don't want to let your teenage daughter near me. God, no. Yeah. That won't happen, folks, right? There are some subjects that are too serious.
Let's cut to the Celtic marketing board.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a lot of talk about us in the media. Let's get into it.
Let's send down that. Yeah, there are certain things that you probably shouldn't bring up. And calling all your fans junkies, it means they can't take offense when we do it.
Yep. Oh. Exactly.
Mr. Smiley Face 6, a good longtime listener here. He chimes in. He says, the usual mega Ibrox pictures doing the rounds. What do you guys think would be the peak capacity the club could fill? He's thinking around 65 to 70. And he also wants to know, with the curtains going up to cover scaffolding and the breeze block across the city, who's going to be forced to redevelop first? I did enjoy, I forgot who it was, but there was someone on Twitter who, you know, like when we started putting up the new banners and signage on the outside of Ibrox, that they were, you know, doing their usual Tim shit. But as he pointed out, it looks like these new curtains have been hung by Stevie Wonder. To answer the Megabrox question, I went and consulted my FM 14 save. Now they have moved me into a new ground. So Ibrox is.
That was nice of them.
Yeah, no, quite nice. But I did go look. The maximum expansion capacity of Ibrox was 92,500. So, I think we could get there.
I reckon we could probably sell. Or we could certainly sell 60,000, 65,000 tickets. Mm-hmm. No problem for a game. It's a tough sell. One, the amount of money it would take to do it. Two, and people forget about this, the amount of interruption. I think we all forget. Like, remember when there was after the Taylor report, and we'd already done this, but when everyone had to do up their stadium in the 90s, for large parts of the season, football grounds resembled building sites and had capacity of about 6,000 for a couple of years.
They all look like St. Johnson's grounds.
And that's what will happen again. So are we prepared to spend 2-3 years? You know, look how long it's taken us to build Edmondson fucking House, which is a wee building outside the ground. Yeah. So, and also,
I mean,
you got
each stand, like adding a tier to each of the three stands. I mean, that's a season for each one. That you're talking about that stand being completely shut down.
Completely shut. So I don't know if people are, you know, it's a great idea, but unfortunately last week Rangers, in general, Rangers fans, we went a bit mental. And it was good because we were signing, you know, loads of players and things were fun and we all enjoyed it. But guys were getting in touch
from Haaland. It was great.
Sensible people were getting in touch with me and saying things like, you know, I've heard rumors we're signing Memphis Depay, and I'm like, he's on 200 grand a week, mate. Like, but you know, and I'm like, no, we're not signing Memphis. No, I've heard he's being announced on Monday. that's nice, but it isn't actually going to happen. And then, you know, they would send me the picture that you referred to, the kind of mega production, going, yeah. I've heard that this is in development. I'm like, no, what that is a picture that someone has done on their computer. Yes. Now, unfortunately, there are quite a few stages between I made this on my computer to this is now the stadium. And we haven't actually left.
David, the football manager, I just got an email telling me it'd be done in September, and then it was.
There we go.
So, but yeah. You know, that, which is great. We'll hire those guys to come in and do it. But you know, the only people I think who could pull off a construction project of that magnitude in that space and time are the Doozles from Fraggle Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you know, by the way, that I don't know if I've ever told you this, that was my nickname. When I was younger,
Doozer,
because I look like one of the wee guys from Fraggle Rock.
Sweet.
One of the dudes. Right, and for those of you who are going, no, you don't. Look, type into Google, Doozer, Fraggle Rock, have a look. And honestly, they are my people.
You'll find a couple in there.
Yeah, I do. So, yeah, my nickname was Doozer when I was younger.
Let's see. Last one. Grant wants to know, with Ryan Reynolds and what was it? Rob McElhenney, isn't that his partner?
Yeah.
Running Wrexham well. What actor would you like to see own Rangers and why? There's a very clear, easy answer to this. It's Robert Downey Jr. because he has more money than God. So,
yes.
Yeah. I think if you look at Rangers branding, then it would have to be Tom Hanks. Solid, dependable, recognized around the world, classy, never really changes. And I'm pretty sure he must have unreasonable fans as well. So
he also did the funniest line, one word in the Post. The funniest is like, have you guys seen the Post?
Yeah. Of course we have, for fuck's sake. We do a award show every Wednesday.
Okay. All right. Just, I didn't know if you dabbled into, you know, literary biopic fiction or whatever.
Why would I go see films about journalism? Jesus.
Yes. Okay. Fucking all right. Christ, man. So just making sure. It's like, you know, there are stand-ups that haven't seen Punchline, and there's a fucking reason for it. Comedy clubs don't have lockers for the comics. Another Tom Hanks vehicle, I might add. I can't remember the context of the thing. He goes, okay, I promise that this will happen. And the two government agents look at him and go, really? And he just looks at him and goes, no! Perfect. Perfect line delivery.
We were talking about Tom Hanks the other day in our WhatsApp chat, and I love the movie Big, right?
Yes.
I think all the
movies, the man with one red shoe and Joe versus the volcano and the money trap. And
great 80s movies. And Big was a wonderful. Unless you work in a toy shop, when cunts trying that on the electric piano thingy probably drive you to distraction. But
no,
it's a wonderful movie. However, someone brought up, and I hadn't really thought about it, but once you do,
I've had to think of the aspect of it.
Well, that is a touch uncomfortable, these days.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you would. That wouldn't pass these days, would it?
No. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, it's a bit like the Back to the Future problem. We're not talking about the noise out of the guitar, right?
Yeah, there's no way he could have got that 70s fuzz tone from a 50 Strat. It's just complete bollocks. Takes me right out of the movie, that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, and mine's George Clooney. There you go.
Oh.
More money than God, handsome as hell.
We had a good George Clooney talk on our Desert Island podcast. You can go listen
to
that
last week. That's true.
Could we have a lady actor?
Yes.
Does it have to be a male actor? I don't know what the criteria of the question is.
I don't know who we would have.
I would think it would be pretty obvious. It would be Dame Judi Dench, surely.
Well, okay. Yes. Yeah.
Incredibly British.
Yep.
I would also throw in there Laura Linney.
Yeah, but you would throw it in everything, so it doesn't count.
Laura Linney is perfect in everything.
I know. I knew you were going to go down there. I think Michelle Pfeiffer would be pretty.
Catwoman.
She would take no shit. Yeah, but even modern day Michelle Pfeiffer still, ridiculously hot.
Well, I wonder, what about Diana Rigg? She could.
She's no longer with us.
Well, yeah, I know, but still, come on. Look, we didn't set guidelines on this shit.
Right. Death is no longer the problem that it used to be.
Well, then fine. Marry Tyler Moore, for fuck's sake. Jesus.
Do you know the really tragic thing is that if we did get the corpse of Mary Tyler Moore, she would be less useless than some of the people we've had there in the last decade.
Yeah, true. True. True.
That's the real tragedy.
I mean, well, yeah, because yeah, some of them would have taken her corpse and tried to sell it. So,
oh, yes. 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
He would have had the rings off that corpse melted down before the fucking coffin lid had dropped back shut.
Yeah, there would be shirts with her image on it being sold in Sports Direct all over town.
Oh, fuck. All right, that's it. I said, scroll down, hit the buy me a coffee thing. Oh, just for anybody who's still on like the old Anchor, the legacy payment thing, your name goes into the hat too. So, yeah, for the monthly drawing. So don't you guys go in too. Don't worry about it. You don't have to change anything if you're still doing that. It's perfectly fine. So, Todd, of course, you can find all Todd's stuff at heyitstva.com and find him on Twitter at heyitstva. And you can find me talking to him last week about a bunch of movies because instead of sticking to what the hell the plan was, we just decided to talk about a bunch of movies for an hour.
Exactly.
What do you got coming up?
Got a couple of spots here in Ottawa tonight and Thursday at Absolute Comedy. So we'll be doing that. And I'm getting into the works for trying to figure out when the next write 'em up will be. So details will follow after that.
There you go. Again, heyitstva.com. David, of course, you find on Twitter at DavidAEdgar23 or on Ibrox Rocks, depending on what you want to talk about. And we will have another Watergate 50 episode. We're five in. So if you need to kill like 6.5 hours of your time,
oh, it's more than that.
I don't even know how fucking long it is at this point. So, no, you can go find all those either from the Crowpod or on Heart and Hand. But, thanks, David.
It's an absolute pleasure. And I would just like to thank all the listeners for voting for us again.
We finished in the
top 20, 20 at the British Podcast Awards this year again. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the fourth year in a row, but every year's a bigger achievement because podcasts are like rabbits, the more and more of them appear all the time, and so for us to do it, which we couldn't do, I mean, you can't make this happen. The listeners have to do it. So to get in there, we are the only independent podcast in there, and if you look, you know, these other ones are backed by corporations and, you know, millions of dollars. So,
whereas we've been doing this show for 3 years, and somehow you still keep ending up in the top 20.
I mean, people are loyal, and Rangers fans. So, you know, it's pretty cool. But every year, I think this will be the year we don't get in, because, you know, eventually, surely the sure way of numbers. Apparently, there was something like 180,000 entries this year.
Christ.
To be in the top 20 of that is, you know, incredible. So I can't thank people enough for because you have to take a bit of time out of life to actually go and vote, and you know, it does mean a lot. Yeah. And I'm uncomfortable with sincerity.
We know, right?
I am the kind of guy who, if you know, when I have to meet the person, you're bereaved, I walk out. I tend to kind of punch them in the shoulder and go, you know what I mean, don't you? Yeah. And walk away feeling awkward. So thank you very much. I do really appreciate it.
Damn
it, Todd.
I'm just gonna throw this out there, just based on that, the Reductress headline of the week: help, this troll will not let me cross the bridge until I listen to his podcast.
there was an Onion one a couple of years ago that said 83 million Americans sweating on guest for their podcast this week.
And this is the one I did want to say: how to tell if he's the one or just a DJ with a big dick and a printer.
David, I just saved yours for my Onion headline. It was the watermelon gazpacho is a great starter for summer parties, writes AP reporter who will not be winning Pulitzer this year.
I saw that one and went, please, Shane, bring it up. Please, Shane, bring it up. Please, Shane, bring it up. God bless you.
It's just the one that made me laugh is because this is Sally, although it's a kind of based as a mum joke, but this is my wife, and I'm sure many of you all have a partner who's like this as well. It said, Mum thinks you would really like restaurant she can't remember name of.
Yep.
That's the Sally stuff. Oh, yeah. You need to listen to a song. Oh, yeah. Oh, what is it? She went, oh, it's that guy you like. Right, which guy? Mm-hmm. You know? No, I clearly don't. Who? The guy. Oh, did you not go and see him? Sally, I've been to 1,800 concerts in my life. I may well have gone and seen him. But could you give me a little bit more than that guy I like? Mm-hmm. And then, like, 4 days later, she'll come in and go, it was him! And you're like, thank you, I've been on fucking tenterhooks ever since.
All right, that's it. We'll be more Wide Game 50 later this week. We should be back. I haven't looked at the match schedule, so I don't know what next week looks like, but I'm sure we'll get back for regular Crow Pod.
Tuesday.
Okay,
but so, we'll be fine. I'm not going to Belgium. So
we'll figure it out. Me and Todd will be back with another desert island in there at some point too. So that's it. We'll talk to y'all soon. Thanks again. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy.